Well, I'm rambling, rambling round, I'm a rambling guy. I ramble out to the different Times Square in a car, get a hotel. Oh, yes, 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 oh, yes. Oh, no. A rambling guy. Hey, R-A-M-B-L-I-N. Apostrophe, oh, rambling. Okay, everybody.
Okay.
So, sing with me.
Sure. A slight delay.
Okay.
What's the matter? Are people uptight or something? Okay, okay. Ladies,
let's start here. Hey, okay, welcome to the show. We're back. With no problems whatsoever.
No, this it went smooth sailing.
Oh yeah, just like everything we've always done. Well, hey man, it's good to talk to you.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you too.
Thank you. I think today we're just doing a side hack. I keep calling it side hack. Side track.
Have you been watching Side Hackers?
I did. I watched it not too long ago. Side hacking. But no, we're side tracking.
Yes.
Which, as if you've previously listened to us, you know that our sidetracks are little episodes where we talk about stuff that doesn't necessarily fit in with the timeline of our band stuff, but just things that we want to talk about because we want to talk about them. And it's our damn show, so.
Yeah.
That's
suck
what
it.
We're doing. That's right. So that's what we're doing today. And it's a rather vague topic. So that kind of negates everything I just said, basically, about having a single topic that we would cover.
Yeah, well, you know.
But, yeah, whatever.
Who are we to play by the rules?
That's right. It's totally in keeping with everything. So I just thought, and I'm sure, you know, it, as we hit on specific topics, we'll talk more about that stuff. But when we were coming up with the idea to do this podcast, of course, the main thing was talking about our band and the experiences through the 90s as a working band. But one of the other things that I wanted to do with it was just sort of document what it was like growing up in the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So back in, because it's way different now. So, you know, we were here in the, we were kids in the 70s, teenagers in the 80s, you know, and then the 90s would be our band, our, avoiding adulthood years. But like a lot of our friends who are becoming adults.
I know, show offs.
But being a kid in the 70s, I don't know. I just thought maybe we could talk about some of that because as long as I've known you, and we did cover a little bit of this stuff on some previous episodes, but as long as I've known you, I still don't know a whole lot about like when you were a little kid before you moved to Yelm.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought we could just talk about some of the stuff we experienced in the 70s. I was just thinking about like stuff we did outside or, you know, we could even talk about TV shows and see where we were alike or not alike and, you know, movies or toys or all that stuff. And then there is the one specific thing before we went on the air that I was thinking about, which was, you know, local legend that we both love.
Pat Cashman.
Yeah. Oh, dude, we should talk about Pat Cashman. Yes. But no. But yes, we should talk about Pat Cashman. I was talking about Julius Pierpont Patches.
The mayor of the city dump.
Exactly. A very important figure up here. So I don't know if we want to start there or if we want to get more vague and start really vague. So I grew up, I basically, you know, I was born in California. We moved up here when I was like 3. And we moved directly to Yelm. So all my experience was Yelm centered,
mm-hmm.
which we've also talked a little bit about. But you were not from Mjolm, so what was going on in your neck of the woods? In the 70s.
In the 70s. Well, I was born in Auburn, Washington.
Right on.
My favorite books. No. and then we moved up to Lake Taps.
Is that an actual lake?
It is. It's
okay.
at the time, it's like my dad got the two properties up there for really cheap because I think he said that there were like two houses.
Yeah.
Up there, and they were really spread apart. but yeah, we were, it was a fresh mountain water lake.
Oh,
which
nice.
Meant that it was like immediate runoff.
Right.
So oftentimes, I think in the summer, especially early summer, you know, you go swimming and it almost looks milky just because it's so cold.
Wow. that's interesting.
Yeah, it's...
I've heard the name Lake Taps, but I don't think I've ever actually been there.
It is now... I mean, even when I was a kid, it was starting to get super fancy. It's like, you know, we had easily had the smallest and crappiest house on there. You know, right. I think our house was under 1,000 square feet.
Yeah.
You know, and
same.
Yeah, everybody else around us, you know, had bigger houses. And
right.
We didn't even have a garage. We had a carport.
But, yeah, I'll talk about our garage later, too.
But, yeah, as I was growing up as a kid, there were more and more vacant lots, you know, like with trees on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's where we'd go and play. But, you know, as the time went on, it's like people bought lots and then they tore the trees down. And
right.
So... yeah, there was like little wooded areas kind of spread out during most of my childhood that, yeah, we go run around in and,
yeah,
you know, play our games. And
right. I'm going to assume you had a bicycle.
Oh, yes, I had. In fact, I have a picture of me with it somewhere.
Oh,
it's,
nice.
It was one of those 1976, like, red, white, and blue, but not like the really super cool one. It was kind of a knockoff, I think.
Right.
But it had the banana seat with the stars and stripes on it. And
oh, yeah, I remember those.
The, you know, cool red, white, and blue streamers off the handlebars,
mm-hmm.
with a slightly chopper-esque, you know, handlebar setup.
Yeah, those big, or the high-up ones.
Yeah.
And did it have a sissy bar?
It did.
Our bikes sound somewhat similar. I had all that. I didn't have a full sissy bar, but I had the little, you know, the short stubby one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I had.
Okay.
Not the big tall. I mean, I wish I had that.
Yeah.
Like I'm riding the chopper.
Isn't it weird how, or at least for me, the idea of what was cool in bicycles went from that crazy, like those kind with the high handlebars and lots of weird colors and the streamers and all that.
Yeah.
To like in just a few years, like the cool bike was BMX style.
Oh, yes.
The and, 80s. Yeah. So like stripped down, low handlebars, knobby tires. My bike had fenders on the tires.
Wow, like, man.
Fenders weren't cool after a few years. or, you know, and you had, I don't know what those brakes are called, but the brakes that are built into the pedal.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they weren't hand brakes. And mine was red and white, but otherwise they sound pretty similar.
Yeah.
But I did a lot of cosmetic surgery on it over the years.
Really?
Try to make it cooler as time went on.
Did you take the fenders off?
I did. I took the fenders off. I got rid of basically everything except the body, the frame. So basically it was a essentially a whole different bike by the time I was done with it. But
wow.
Yeah, I switched out the handlebars and I got some BMX stuff. We didn't have any money when I was a kid. My parents bought me a bike. They weren't about to go buy me another bike just because the bike I had wasn't cool anymore.
Right.
So I scavenged parts. But yeah, I switched out the handlebars for BMX style, not actual BMX. And I got rid of the fenders, and then I got rid of the banana seat, and I got one of those way more uncomfortable BMX style seats.
Nice.
And I painted the whole thing red with like house paint. So it was like clumpy and dried badly, and it was a terrible paint job. So that's how it ended up. And then I rode it for a few more years like that until I finally got a new bike that.
Yeah, I don't think I customized mine at all, but it definitely did end up rusting a lot.
Yeah. Did you use the kickstand or just throw it in the yard?
I think probably at first I just threw it in the yard until my parents were like, pick that up. God damn it. Cost money.
Yeah.
Use the kickstand. That's what it's there for.
Right. I don't know why I was so adverse to using the kickstand. It was just too much work. Easier to just let it fall over into a bush or something.
There you go. That's kid or, thinking.
Yeah. A lot of times when you're getting off your bike, though, it's still moving and you kind of are jumping off of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you can't really put the kickstand down then.
Yeah.
Makes it a little awkward.
You're moving. Yeah. So you kind of jump off the bike, and then the bike rolls a few more feet and lands where it lands. And then you go inside and watch Star Blazers or...
Oh, Star Blazers!
We should do a side hackers. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. Forgive us, folks. We're time traveling. It takes a lot out of the mind.
This is good times.
I'm enjoying it.
Oh my!
So I rode. So when I was at home, I actually didn't use my bike all that much because there was nowhere to ride it. So you know where I had lived.
Oh yeah.
Out in the middle of nowhere. So like I could ride my bike up and down the road, which at the time was just a gravel road.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nowhere to really go, and that got old for a while. But when we'd go visit my family or whoever out of town, I would take my bike with me a lot of times. And I had relatives that lived in Roy, Washington,
mm-hmm.
which for everyone that doesn't know, so, you know, we were from a small town, Yelm, and Roy is like a speck, you know, even compared to Yelm. So, but there was a lot of places to go. Like the town itself was tiny, but there was a lot of, like there was a creek that ran through town or, you know, on the outside of town or, back then you could go onto Fort Lewis through back roads. And there was a lake out there called Chambers Lake. And sometimes my cousins and I would ride our bikes all the way out there, which is another thing that's way different than nowadays, because like we'd go to my aunt's house and then a bunch of us would get on our bikes and we'd say, hey, we're going to go to Chambers Lake. And then the adults would say, okay, be careful or whatever. And then we'd leave and we'd be gone like all day. And it was way out there and also on army base, you know? So,
yeah.
But we just ride out there. There were no phones or anything. And we'd be gone all day and nobody to check on us or, you know, if anything happened, that was a long way back to have to carry a wounded wounded comrade, you know, which happened occasionally. But yeah, you just go out all day long on some adventures, and there'd be no checking in. I mean, and you might come home for lunch or something, but then you'd leave again. And so we rode our bikes like probably miles and miles back then out there.
Yeah, I mean, Lake Taps is, it's not like a ginormous lake, but it's big enough to where, you know, I remember, you know, riding, you know, staying within that part of the lake, because it, once you left our neighborhood, you know, there was like a busy road with no sidewalk or anything to get over to like my friend Ron's side of the lake, you know, side of kind of, I couldn't, you know, easily ride over to his house.
Yeah.
You know, instead we, you know, it's like we went to, half the time we'd go visit them, it's like we'd take our boat, in our shitty fucking boat that we had, down to the boat launch it, and then park the truck with the trailer, and then we'd, you know, take the boat over to their house. It was
wow,
you know, much easier way. But the neighborhood that I lived in was big enough to where, yeah, it's like we'd ride around and, yeah, do the same thing, like ride around for a couple of hours, you know, and come home for lunch, you know, dump the bike.
Right.
Get yelled at for dumping the bike. And then after lunch, then, you know, go leave again, go ride around with some other friends or something.
Mm-hmm.
But until, yeah, it
got dark.
Yeah. And it was, you know, I could easily walk around the neighborhood, you know, because we knew a whole bunch of people. And, but yeah, I just mainly, man, I loved living near a lake. But I can't do, yeah, because now if you go up there, it's all gated, you know, gated community to have private access to the, and I'm like, well, this used to be a public, you know, beach. It was cool too, because it had, it's like you'd enter the main part and off to the left was like tennis courts and, you know, basketball court. And then to your right was the main access to the lake. Had the, you know, the long dock,
yeah,
you go out to. But then if you keep going straight, there's like a playground, and then at the end of the playground was water, but then there was like a little island that I guess that they just maybe it was, you know, made that way,
right?
But I was like, oh man, you can, you know, swim out to the little island and hang out. And
man, that sounds cool. Yeah, I envy you. I loved going to lakes. Like, I lived close to Lawrence Lake, but like you said, I mean, most of it was private property, people that lived right on the lake, and I didn't really know anybody that lived there, so it's not like I could go visit people and hang out at the lake. And then the other lake was Clear Lake, which was a little farther out, but that was also, like you said, a gated community even back then.
Yeah.
So I had no access into there. Not until we started hanging out with Dan.
Oh, that's right. They had
property in there. But, and it was too far to ride my bike. It was too dangerous back then. Well, it probably still is. I wouldn't ride a bike on those roads out there.
Oh, yeah, because people were doing, you know, 50 to 60 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. There's barely any shoulder.
Yeah.
So I think I did try to ride my bike to town one time. I didn't get very far. I was tired.
Well, yeah, because you lived a little further out than I did. And I'd, you know, ride my bike, but it would, you know, take me like 25 minutes to ride into town. Because,
mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, walking was like 45.
Yeah. And then once you got there, there was nothing to do.
Yeah. So it's just kind of like, why?
Because you're like, oh, I'm in Yelm. Now what? So, yeah. What else? Yeah, bikes were important. You had to have one.
Yeah.
And
TV was important.
TV. Yeah. I was just thinking, I posted a thing, I think it was yesterday or the day before, of just a screen of static.
Mm-hmm.
And I was amazed at how many people were weirdly nostalgic from seeing that. So I was just thinking about TV back then, because, man, everything is just at the touch of a fingertip now, and you can watch anything any time on 8,000 channels, you know, or don't even need actual TV. You just got a computer or whatever. But we had three major, you know, networks. So like ABC, NBC, CBS, which are those still on? I don't even know anything about TV anymore, which is really weird.
Yeah, I think everybody's kind of moved to services now.
Yeah, but those they were a thing anyway when we were kids. They existed. So those were like the major ones. And I remember the up here it was that was Channel 4, 5, and 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Channel 11.
KSTW. And that was
yes, exactly. That was your local Seattle Tacoma station, which I don't even know if local stations exist anymore.
Mm, yeah, who knows?
Yeah. And then, so what is that? That's four. So we had four channels and then PBS.
Yeah.
Which I think was on channel 9, but also weirdly, depending on the weather, it might show up on channel 12.
Yeah, because this is the days of, you know, aerial TV.
Exactly. So, we had an antenna on the roof of the house.
Yeah, there were often times where you'd have to get up there and kind of adjust it. Like somebody had to be in the house going, it's even worse. Move it the other way.
Yeah, because the picture wouldn't come in. It'd be fuzzy. And where we lived, man, it was always bad. So my favorite channel was Channel 11 because they showed cartoons every day, and they had Brakeman Bill, who was another big like second only to JP Patches in my life when I was a little kid, but he had an afternoon show, so Brakeman Bill, guy that dressed like a train brakeman, you know.
Yeah,
and he had a little show. I don't know if people remember these kind of shows, but he was a local guy out of Seattle, and it was, I think his show was just a half hour thing, and he had puppets and all that crap that they always had, and then he'd show cartoons. So like that was on Channel 11, Sci-Fi Theater, I think, on Sundays, where I saw the Godzilla movies and stuff, I think was also on Channel 11. But because it was just a local lower powered station, that was the worst one as far as actually getting it to come in. So a lot of times it was fuzzed out, or the picture would roll. Do you remember the picture would roll? Scroll. People, kids that probably have no idea what any of that is, but sometimes your picture, imagine like if you were watching YouTube and the picture just started going scrolling up, you know, endlessly real fast. That was what our TVs used to do. So then my dad get on the roof and or you'd bang on the side of the TV until it
until
it fixed itself,
or until you eventually broke the bulb inside.
Right.
Shit.
But even with just those channels, and then of course Saturday mornings you had spectacular hours worth of, you know, nothing but cartoons.
But they didn't start until like what, 5 or 5:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
I remember I went over to my friend Ron's house. I stayed the night, and we ended up sleeping in the living room, but we stayed up all night. We were like, watch. Was it like the Muhammad Ali cartoon that I remember was on? And we did it. But then, you know, like an hour later, it's like we were crashed out. Exhausted from staying up all night.
That's what you get.
But yeah, it's like Saturday mornings, man. You get up early, get the bowl of cereal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just sit and watch cartoons until like 11.
Until Soul Train came on. That was the signal to go on out. Or sometime, I guess depending on the channel you're watching, I think it was Soul Train or American Bandstand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you stretch, and you'd be like, all right, eat some lunch, go outside and play, ride my bike.
Burn off all this sugar.
Yeah.
The three bowls of Captain Crunch I just ate.
Yeah.
Or Frankenberry, whatever. That was a whole other thing. We could probably just talk about cereals back then.
Oh, yeah, easily.
But, yeah, so I don't know. I jumped around. I was semi-loyal to some cartoons, but I also jumped around depending on what was on. But there were certain ones that I think I always watched.
Yeah.
Like the original Scooby-Doo stuff.
Yes.
Anything creepy or had a monster in it, I always watched.
Well, I also remember that Looney Tunes at some point when that came on Saturdays, it was at least an hour and a half, like block.
Yeah, it was long.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If not 2 hours. And I was just like, okay, that was another one that I would faithfully always watch on Saturdays. Cause I'm like, man, it's Looney Tunes.
Yep, I did too. I mean, those cartoons are burned into my brain probably more than any other. Because, you know, they showed the same ones over and over.
Yeah.
And I'd watch them over and over. But they were definitely my favorite. Yeah, it was the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner show.
Yeah.
I think. Over the years, I think it might have had two or three different names, but it was basically the same thing.
Yeah.
And there's weird random ones that would just last a couple of seasons and be gone, but...
Yeah, I remember there was a Planet of the Apes one.
There was, yeah.
But it only lasted like a season or two or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is sad because I think it was really cool. My memory is that it was really cool. Like the Star Trek one.
Yeah.
Animated Star Trek, which is actually really cool.
The low budget animation.
Yeah. You know, their mouths are moving. But yeah, I love stuff like that. Anything sci-fi or that had monsters in it, I was a sucker for. So I watched all those things. And then what else was it? There were other Schoolhouse Rock, of course, in between the cartoons.
Yeah.
Which is how I learned. That's how I got all my education. Way more than from actual school.
And so if a teacher asked you in class, Mr. West, how does a bill become a law?
They'd break into song. Yeah. Then they'd have no choice but to give me an A.
That's right.
Because I got it, all the information right. But I love those. And a lot of those are still burned into my brain, too.
Yeah. Yeah, especially Conjunction, and I think it was always one of my favorites.
Yep. See, I actually learned. We're joking, but I did actually learn stuff from those things. And then sorry, I got like 8 different Saturday morning memories just popped into my head. So I was trying to pick which direction I wanted to go in. I guess veering away, or did we want to stay on TV for a while? There's probably a million things TV-wise we could talk about.
Join us here next time for another exciting installment of Sidetracks, the Ramblin' Guys, here on Feedback and Forth.
Well, I'm ramblin', 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 ramblin'.